Good morning, friends
and neighbors, fellow countrymen and people all over the place, all over the world. Good morning. Welcome to Mike's Place on the Web and the end of the week edition of the Panic Podcast. It is just great, great, great to have you along today. And we're going to get started in just a second. Pardon me as I was stalling for time, trying to lay my hands on my glasses. That's the curse of middle age, I guess, having to wear glasses. I have a question for all of you tech people out there. And I know you're there because in various times you've given me advice on how to sound better on the internet. So I'm having real issues with my iPad Pro, and I do everything on my iPad. I do all of my writing, all of my research. I don't do the podcast on my iPad, but I mean, I use it for everything in my life. It's funny. I don't like the iPhone. I refuse to buy an iPhone. I don't like the fact that with the iPhone, like I prefer an Android phone. Because I can treat it like an external hard drive. You know, you can put stuff on it and then plug it into your PC and drop and drag files. And I do that all the time. And you just can't do that with an iPhone. And I kind of resent that. So I will not use an iPhone. I have a Unihertz. I don't know if anybody ever heard of that company, Unihertz. I have the Unihertz Titan. And it's kind of it's brand new, just released like this year, I think, 2020, and it's a modern take on the old BlackBerry Passport. And the BlackBerry Passport was, in my opinion, one of the finest smartphones ever made. It was just a little too late for BlackBerry. It couldn't save BlackBerry, but it was a beautiful phone, and it was called the Passport because it was shaped like a passport. It was square. And Unihertz has built this a phenomenal phone called the Titan. And it's just like its name implies. This thing is indestructible. It's heavy. It's waterproof. It's dustproof. In fact, there's an underwater camera setting on this phone. It's incredible. And it has a keyboard. It has a physical keyboard. And anyway, I love my Unihertz Titan. You can now buy them on Amazon. It was a Kickstarter thing back in the fall. And it's an amazing phone. Cameras aren't the greatest, or at least front-facing cameras, terrible, in my opinion. But the rear-facing camera, the main camera, is not too bad. But my question about my iPad Pro, I charge this thing up, and the battery does not seem to hold a charge. I charged it up a couple of days ago, and I unplugged it, turned it off, and put it in my briefcase, and pulled it out this morning. I've got 16% on it. I can't do any work on it. So any of you tech guys, if you can give me some advice or help me to understand, why is it doing that? Other times it seems to function, function just fine in terms of the battery just lasts forever. But in the past few weeks, it's been dying. Even when turned off, it just will not hold a charge sometimes. Sometimes it appears to. So that's my problem with my iPad Pro. Well, that's definitely a first world problem, isn't it? Well, it's Friday, and we're up to the sixth thing that God expects from Christians. So we'll finish this up on Monday with the seventh. And then next Wednesday, we'll continue on with Psalm 119. And then Friday, we'll be starting a brand new series. I'm still not sure what it is yet. I think I know what I want to do. I'm just praying about it and seeing what the Lord has on His mind. All right. Well, get your Bibles and let's get started here. We've been looking at seven things that God expects from his children, and we're up to number six. And there are, of course, far more than seven things that God expects from Christians. Some Christians, they don't think God expects anything from them. If you don't believe me, just look at how so many people who call themselves Christians are living. The proof is in the living. When it comes to faith, salvation may be all about God's free grace, but once you've accepted that free gift of God's grace and salvation, brother, you are on the hook to live in obedience to God's will. The challenge, of course, is to discover what God's will is. And the only way you can discover God's will is by reading the Bible prayerfully, studying the Word of God. There's no mystery about God's will. A lot of Christians seem to think there is, but there's no mystery. God's will is clearly revealed throughout His Word. All we have to do is read it, study it, and live it. Now, there may be very specific circumstances in your life that demand you spend time in prayer in order to discern God's will for that particular circumstance. But I'd say 95% at least of the rest of the time, if you're in the Word, then you will know God's will. The proof of your faith is in your life. A Christian will be a decent person. He'll be a level-headed person. He'll be a person able to control his emotions and his passions. A Christian will be a well-mannered individual. He'll be positive, optimistic. He'll be able to encourage and build up other people. Faithful, loyal, honest, trustworthy. Those will be some of the words associated with a true Christian. But there's another quality that is associated with a follower of Christ. And we have to go back, way back, into the Old Testament to find it. So get your Bibles and crawl into the Wayback Machine. Remember the Wayback Machine? That was on the old, what was the name of that show? It was the Underdog cartoon, but it was a segment of that. Peabody and Sherman. That's right, Peabody and Sherman. So get into your Wayback Machine and let's journey back to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9. All right, Joshua chapter 1, 9, and here I am telling you to turn there, and I haven't, because I don't have my iPad. I have to use paper. What is this thing called paper? All right, Lord have mercy. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Yes, God said to Joshua, be bold and strong. Banish fear and doubt, for remember, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's from the Living Bible. And that's God's pep talk to Joshua just after Moses' death and just before he led Israel into the Promised Land. Be bold, be strong, or if you please, in other versions, be strong and courageous. Banish fear and doubt. Now, whatever translation you like, Joshua was being boosted and encouraged and pushed by God to be something that he really wasn't at the time. Be strong and courageous. There are many people in the Old Testament to whom God gave that exact same advice. Be bold, be strong, banish fear and doubt. Be strong and courageous. Let's take a look at why Joshua needed this piece of advice and why you do too. So no matter who you are, no matter the state of your life, you need to be bold and strong. God expects you to be bold and strong. And this is a really big pill for some Christians to swallow these days in a culture that caters to and bends over backwards to accommodate the weak and the reticent and the fearful and suspects those of us who are confident in our beliefs. God does not want his people to be the kind of people the world caters to. God wants his people to be the exact opposite, be bold and be strong. And boy, those are qualities that are just woefully missing in the Church of Jesus Christ today. It's hard to believe. I often say this. It's hard to believe that this is the nation that not so many decades ago actually opened the West. If it was up to this current generation, the West would stay shut. I have people in the church. I've grown men in the church who are afraid to leave their homes, fearful of catching COVID-19. Can you believe that? Men in their 30s and 40s, men who stand virtually no chance of dying from COVID-19, they are scared to death to go to work every day. And I hear the excuse, and I'll tell you right now, you guys, if you're listening to this, I don't believe it. I hear the excuse, well, I'm afraid to catch it, bring it home to my kids. Look, don't stop using your kids as an excuse for your own fear. Your kids are not going to die from this thing. Okay, there's statistically zero chance of your children or anybody's children dying from COVID-19. And the science tells us that if they happen to catch it, they're not going to give it to you. That's why the pediatricians are all saying, get your kids in school. So I get all bent out of shape when grown men are fearful of a virus, for crying out loud. It's crazy, crazy. I was talking to somebody just 2 weeks ago. I'm 56, I'm middle-aged, and I'm a curmudgeon. When you're 56, you can be a curmudgeon. And they just say things like, well, he's getting old, you know. And I thinking back in my life of all the things that I survived, I shouldn't even be alive. I got my shots when I was a kid. You know, I had a little scar on my arm to prove it. And yet I still survived measles. I survived mumps twice, as a matter of fact, and chicken pox. Twice. I survived the flu, various strains of the flu, routinely. I survived the swine flu. I even survived the meningitis outbreak in my town back in the 90s. So, I mean, your immune system is an amazing thing. God gave it to you. Stop thinking that he's leaving you alone to suffer from a virus that you're probably not going to catch. And if you do, it's not going to kill you. The world may suspect strong, confident people, but that's what you need to be if you want to live the way God wants you to. So hang on, you guys, afraid to leave your home. I'm going to tell you why you need to be fearless and courageous. The book of Joshua opens with a funeral. It ain't the best way to start a book, but that's how the book of Joshua opens. And you can't get any lower in times of morale than most people at a funeral. But the death of Moses was a severe blow to the nation of Israel. For decades, this one man had been their leader in all religious, domestic, judicial, military, and civic concerns. The age of Moses was like the golden age for the Hebrews up till now. With the close of Deuteronomy and the opening of the book of Joshua, the Pentateuch, that's the five books of Moses, comes to an end. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And yet the Pentateuch really doesn't come to an end, because everything Joseph was about to do and all he accomplished were a direct fulfillment of what God had started with Moses. In effect, Joshua was expected to simply pick up and carry on with the agenda that God gave his servant Moses. Now, just think about that for a moment, and you'll understand how Joshua must have felt. Up till now, Moses was all there was. God spoke to him, nobody else. Joshua lived in Moses' shadow, and now he was being forced to step out from that shadow and do what only Moses had been doing for the past four decades. Joshua 1:2. Now that my disciple is dead, you are the new leader of Israel. Lead my people across the Jordan River into the promised land. Well, anybody is replaceable, even the great Moses. Might as well just get used to that fact, guys. You're not indispensable. Anybody is replaceable. Moses was a great man, not because of who he was, but because God called him to do great things And he did. God's will, in effect, made Moses great. As a matter of fact, Moses didn't have a very high opinion of himself at all. It's actually comical. Every time God told Moses to do what he wanted the man to do, Moses would come up with like just a lame excuse. Back in Exodus chapter 4, God had been trying to get Moses to do something, and finally Moses said, "Lord, please send someone else." That's Exodus 4:13. "Please send somebody else. I can't do it. I stutter. I don't talk very well." All of our excuses, like Moses' excuses for not living the way God wants you to live, are lame, my friend. God would never ask you to do something you couldn't do. And if it seems too hard, you got to believe that God, he will enable you to do it. You can never lose by doing things God's way. And Moses found this out. When he was obedient, man, there was no stopping him. But all of us, like all of us, Moses had his doubts. And he had his times of disobedience. And that's why Moses, the man tasked with leading the Hebrews into the promised land, wasn't allowed to enter it. Can you imagine that? He got right to the border. But because the man acted in haste, excuse me, and went against God's word, God barred him from going in to possess the land. Deuteronomy 32, verses, 50 and 52. "After you see the land," the Lord said, "you must die and join your ancestors, just as Aaron, your brother, died at Mount Hor and joined them. For you dishonored me among the people of Israel at the springs of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. You will see spread out before you the land I'm giving the people of Israel, but you will not enter it." Oh, man, that must have been a little depressing for Moses. Look, it's a serious thing to disobey God. We don't think about it because God is so forgiving and he's so gracious. Moses learned that the hard way. He saw the promised land, but only from a distance. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that Moses was barred from heaven or that suddenly God hated him. No, not at all. Far from it. Moses would make a final appearance in the Bible over in the New Testament. You got to see this with your eyes. It's Matthew 17, beginning to read at verse 2. Hang on here. So usually I'm reading this from my iPad. Can't do it today. Matthew 17, verse 2. "And as they watched, Jesus' appearance changed, so that his face shone like the sun, and his clothing became dazzling white. Suddenly Moses and Elijah appeared and were talking to him. Peter blurted out, 'Sir, it's wonderful that we can be here. If you want me to, I'll make three shelters, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah.'" Good old Peter, impetuous Peter, saying things that he probably wished he hadn't said. Moses and Elijah, the two great heroes of Israel, having a chat with Jesus. Can you imagine? So Moses didn't get into the promised land, but he made out all right after all. God made sure of that. Now back to Joshua. In spite of Moses' frequent low opinion of himself, on balance, he did what God wanted him to do. And Joshua was always seen just a step or two behind him, the great leader of the Hebrews. Joshua was the loyal friend and assistant, but he wasn't the leader until now. Look at Joshua 1, 3 to 5. "I say to you, what I said to Moses, wherever you go will be part of the land of Israel, all the way from the Negev Desert in the south to the Lebanon Mountains in the north, and from the Mediterranean Sea in the west to the Euphrates River in the east, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to oppose you as long as you live, for I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not abandon you or fail to help you. Wow, I love that. That's an amazing promise. I bet you wished God had made that promise to you. Oh, but wait, He did. Matthew 28, verse 20. Be sure of this, that I am always with you, even to the end of the world. That's Jesus talking. Be sure of this, that I am always with you, even to the end of the world. Why would you be afraid? Why would you doubt? You've got the promise. And there's another one. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. But remember this. The wrong desires that come into your life aren't anything new and different. Many others have faced exactly the same problems before you. And no temptation is irresistible. You can trust God to keep you from the temptation, from being so strong that you can't stand up against it. For He has promised this, and He will do what He says. He will show you how to escape temptation's power so that you can bear up patiently against it. That's 1 Corinthians 10:13 from the Living Bible. The promise of success and of God's abiding presence is for all believers. God didn't promise Joshua anything unique here. With obedience to God's word comes God's blessings. I mean, it's pretty simple. God is nothing if not fair. If you obey, He blesses you. If you go your own way, you'll soon discover what life is like without Him and His daily concern for you. Now, consider what Joshua had going for him. First, he was going to lead the Hebrews into a land given to them by God. Got that? It was given to them by God. Second, even though the land was given to the Hebrews, they still had to go in and take it by force. Third, Joshua was promised certain victory. Certain victory was his as long as he stayed the course and never deviated from God's word. Fourth, God would fight for the Hebrews and promised never, ever to abandon them. How could Joshua lose? Well, in spite of those great promises, God still felt the need to admonish him, be bold and be strong. God repeated that 3 times in 4 verses and 1 more time in the people's reply to Joshua in verse 18. If Joshua had all that going for him, why would he need to be bold and be strong and banish all fear and doubt? Why? Well, it may well be that Joshua was a bit intimidated by the great Moses. After all, 40 years he spent in the great man's shadow. And now he's thrust into the spotlight and expected by God and every Israelite to just pick up and carry on, just as Moses did. That burden of responsibility must have been heavy, heavy indeed. Or maybe Joshua was just concerned about this. Joshua 1, verses 7 and 8. You need only to be strong and courageous and obey to the letter every law Moses gave you. For if you are careful to obey every one of them, you'll be successful in everything you do. Constantly remind the people about these laws, and you yourself must think about them every day and every night so that you will be sure to obey all of them, for only then will you succeed. It's one thing to be fairly certain that you yourself can be as obedient as the Lord wants you to be. But your overall success is contingent on the people you're leading being just as obedient as you must be. As the Lord said, for only then will you succeed. Wow. No wonder God felt the urgent need to tell Joshua, be bold and brave and banish fear and doubt. Look at the people he had to lead. He knew what they were like. Well, there's a big lesson here for us. And we'll wrap this up in just a couple minutes. You are responsible for your own relationship with God. It is not your parents' job to make sure you and the Lord are on speaking terms. It's not your pastor's job to tell you what to do, to save you, and make sure you're reading the Bible and being obedient to the Lord's commands. It's not the Sunday school teacher's job to make sure that you're staying on the straight and narrow. It's up to you, just like it was up to Joshua. God expected him to be bold, to be strong, to get all the fear and doubt out of his life. Verse 8 tells him how to do this. God says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Yeah, it's not a mystery, right? Follow the will of God as revealed in the Word of God. Meditate on it constantly. Just do what it says, and your success will be guaranteed. The word meditates means to mutter or read aloud. Think about it. Talk about it. Romans 10, 17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. What God expects from Joshua, he expects from us all. And the promise of success is for us all too. Be bold as you serve him. Be strong as you live for him. There's never any time when fear or doubt should rule you. So get up, be strong, be courageous, get out there, and be a positive influence in your community. Be optimistic, be a man or a woman of faith who is not fearful, not afraid, who doesn't waver in his beliefs or his faith. Be bold, be courageous, banish doubt and fear. That's what God expects from you. It ain't easy, but you have to do it. You have to do it. All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. It teaches us so much. And Lord, we thank you for spending time with us this week in our Bible studies. Those were some great studies that you blessed us with. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for being present when we study it together. We thank you that your Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And I pray that as we go about our daily duties today and throughout the weekend, that we'd remember some of the things that we talked about this week. Bring back to our remembrance those things that we need to know about to live lives that please and glorify you. Lord, as we continue on with our day, help us to be a blessing to others and an encouragement to others. Help us to be strong and courageous. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, folks, that's it. That's all. And I really mean it. Thank you for spending time with me in these Bible studies. I really, really enjoyed being with you today. I hope you have a great weekend. It's shaping up to be an awesomely hot and dry weekend here in Southwest Virginia. Hope yours is a good weekend. We'll see you back here bright and early Sunday morning for the video sermon. But we'll be back for the Panic Podcast first thing Monday morning, and a whole new bunch of Bible studies flying your way. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Sunday. Bye for now.